Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
It's Tuesday here on Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. Of course, with me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday morning, so look for a brand new one of them tomorrow morning while you're over there. But, of course, while you're hanging out at sportstimeradio.com, you want to hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, Dan and I would greatly appreciate that. There's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, you can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three E's.
Okay, now, I'm sure, you know, you've listen to the podcast before and all that other fun stuff that goes with it. And, you know, Dan is one of the few guys, I think, anywhere in just the media all around that just doesn't hate LeVar Ball. Dan is actually a little more accepting of his idiocy and all the other kind of goofy stuff that goes with it. But, Dan, you know, now I know he's your guy. But I need you to help him out with understanding contract law. I don't know if you saw this one, but he came out yesterday and said that the Lakers need to sign all three of his kids or Lonzo will not re-sign with them. Now, of course, the only issue with that, Dan, is Lonzo's contract will still be in effect by the time the youngest son, which is, what's that, LaMelo, will be eligible to play in the NBA. So unless Lonzo is going to walk out on the final year of his contract, you got to kind of explain contract law to your boy there because he's a little lost. So.
A little. I mean, I think he went off the deep end with that one.
You know, and the difficult part about all of this is what I think what he's attempting to do is make a career for LiAngelo, who is the middle brother, who a lot of people, I mean, most scouts think he's not good enough to play in the NBA. There are scouts out there who don't even think he's good enough to play in the G League. So it's going to be difficult. Now, this is done before. You know, the Warriors carried, you know, Klay Thompson's brother on their G League team. And, you know, the Heat hung on to Dragic's brother for a season. I think he actually was on the NBA team. I think he barely played. So, you know, it wouldn't be the first time that, you know, this has ever happened, but it's odd that he's bringing it up. And I mean, this is multiple years down the road. I don't know why he's bringing it out now. I mean, we're talking, what, 3 or 4 years down the road, right?
I think it was through 2022.
So, yeah. I just thought it was humorous, kind of, you know, the way he was stating it about how, you know, he won't do this and he won't do that. And it's like, did you not see the contract? Because it's going to have a year on it. So, you know, unless he's going to walk away, I mean, I don't even know if he could go and play overseas while he was under contract to an NBA team. I think that would be a violation. So he would literally just have to sit out. And, you know, we know that ain't doing anybody's career any good. But do you see all three of these guys ended up being Lakers when it's all said and done? Or let's say on the same team.
No.
No, you don't think they'll end up with the, you don't see anybody giving in to the demands there, or unless Lonzo really improves and he could carry a team.
Well, I think he'd have to improve, and then I think the youngest will have to be just complete breakout.
Yeah, you know, oddly, you know, he was a big-time superstar in high school, but his skills have really regressed. You know, obviously, he hasn't, you know, he didn't play a lot going over to Lithuania. So, you know, now he's playing more. Maybe he'll, you know, he'll be better. But, yeah, I don't know. I just thought it was really more humorous about the, you know, kind of threatening them, not realizing that, you know, in reality, they kind of hold the cards there for that last year. And I know LiAngelo is eligible next year, even though I believe they re-signed with Lithuania. I think they're going back there next season. So, we'll have to see how that works out. But, I just thought it was funny. I was like, hey, look at this. He has no clue what's going on with their contracts. Yeah, they don't go very long over there. They're really short seasons. You know, like when you look up guys' stats from over there, it's like 16 games or something like that. It's like, oh, okay, didn't it just start? So, you know. But while we were on, you know, Lonzo a little bit there, the Lakers did say that he's out, you know, at least until after the All-Star break. He was scheduled to play in that Rising Stars game, so he may miss that, which I believe is this weekend. I think their All-Star break is this weekend, so that means they're off all next week just about. So we'll have to, have to see if he comes back and how that mix kind of goes with, the Isaiah Thomas, you know, move now that happened there. So we'll have to see how that goes. And I'm sure, you know, LeVar would have something to say about that. So you'll have to keep us updated on that. So, but I thought I saw Facebook is going to do a second season of their show. Have you checked it out yet?
They already did.
Oh, did they? Okay. So
yeah,
maybe the third one? Are they doing?
Get into it. Probably a third. I didn't get into it this time.
Oh, that's disappointing. I kind of wanted your take on this. If we wandered, you know, NBA league here, you know, with our LeVar open there. I don't know if you saw this one last night, but Steve Kerr actually let the Warriors kind of coach themselves. You know, during timeouts, he had Draymond Green draw up a play. Later on, Andre Iguodala drew one up. And then I believe even David West also drew one up. There seems to be two takes on this. There's some who think it was a slap in the face to the Phoenix Suns. Now, to be fair, the Warriors were up 45 points. And there's other people who think Kerr was just trying to keep them interested because they were a little bored. Do you think it was insulting to the Suns for them to let them do that?
I mean, I can see how it can be kind of taken that way, but you just got to do what you got to do to keep things fresh. You know, it could be a play that they end up using in the finals. You never know.
Yeah, I didn't think it was that big a deal, you know, and like the weird part is, you know, it's not like a lot of times the point guard isn't out there calling plays anyways, you know, without looking at the coach. I know both Reggie Miller and Chris Webber came out and defended Kerr, you know, and it's no surprise that the Phoenix Suns were the ones who were complaining about this. My kind of thing to them is, well, if you don't want them to do it, don't get beat by what ended up being 46 points. Right? You know? So, you know, if you weren't losing by it, well, you know, again, it was 45 points at the time. You know, it would have never happened. So maybe worry about that more than, you know, if they insulted you, or, you know, try maybe using it as motivation to play better. But I don't know. Maybe that's just me.
That's just bad. 46.
Yeah, it just seemed weird. I mean, you're getting your teeth kicked in, and you're gonna cry about something like that. So I was like, oh, okay. You know, you don't have anything better to do? Maybe play better basketball. You know, anything like that to help out, and then you wouldn't get beat by 46, and we wouldn't be having this discussion. So, you know, but we do allegedly, Dan, we're supposed to have a very exciting game on tonight. The first game on TNT has the new look Cleveland Cavaliers, because now, you know, they are a NBA title contender again with their recent trade, and everybody is excited to see them play again. They are in Oklahoma City to take on the Thunder. How are you buying this game? You interested? You excited? I mean, I know it's coming down to the All-Star break. You got to wonder if either team is going to be flat, or, you know, will the Cavaliers still be thrilled with all their new players?
I think it should be a good game. I mean, wish Oklahoma was playing a little better.
Yeah, well, they did at least. They won their last game. I know they had a little losing streak going, so we'll have to see if that kind of gets it rolling. But, yeah, it was, you know, again, it's one of those things where you look at it, it looks like it should be a pretty good matchup. You never quite know what we're actually going to get, because we, you know, you just never know how an NBA team is going to play night to night. It's difficult to judge that, so... And yeah, this looks like it is both their last games before the All-Star break. So, and somehow it looks like for Thursday that Denver, Milwaukee, the Lakers, and the Timberwolves drew the short straw. They still have to play. Everybody else is off. But just about everybody else is playing tomorrow. So the rest of the schedule tonight, we got Miami at Toronto, Atlanta at Milwaukee, Houston's at Minnesota. I mentioned Cleveland at Oklahoma City. That's the first TNT game. We have Sacramento at Dallas, and then the second TNT game is San Antonio at Denver. So that's what you got tonight for the NBA on TNT. If you're interested in jumping on and watching that, I'll probably flip on the first game and see what's going on, just to kind of check it out a little. How about you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, go home, eat dinner, and turn it on.
So, yeah, you know, hopefully it will be hopefully we'll get a decent game and, you know, see how it goes. I was laughing again. You know, every day, Dan, I seem to find an article with a different take on the Cavaliers trade. And the one I ran into today was why NBA scouts believe Cavs trade puts them over the top in the East. And what I can't figure out is, you and I have been saying all along that they're contenders just because they have LeBron James. Even if they wouldn't have made this trade, they were still a contender in the East. You know, I mean... just because they're the best team in the East doesn't mean they're going to be able to beat the Warriors or the Rockets or whoever they run into in the finals. So it's it's a big step to kind of make that move. So we'll have to see there. But I just think it's funny. I'm wondering how long they can kind of stretch this out with the All-Star break going on. you know, I'm wondering if they lose tonight, if that kind of all of a sudden everybody starts switching sides again. Because remember, before they made the trade, everybody was convinced they were done. So, I don't know.
They were still in the top three, so I don't know how you could just eliminate them.
Yeah, it was quite humorous that they were third in the Eastern Conference standings, but yet they were done. You know, oh, it's over. They're not going to do anything. Forget it. The season's finished. Like, man, what's that say for the team in, like, fourth place then? So, you know, the other playoff teams there, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8, if the third place team is done, good Lord, what happens to the rest of them? So, I don't know. That's just, I guess, what you got to do, right? What do you say? You need to always got to come up with a story. So.
Yes.
You know, just fun, but I don't know. Who you got winning tonight? You think Oklahoma City knocks them off with, you know, good old Russ and Paul George and Carmelo? You think they've got what it takes to beat the new look world champion Cavaliers? I mean, soon to be world champion Cavaliers.
No, I don't think they have enough to take them over tonight.
You think the Cavaliers' excitement will carry them to a big road victory in Oklahoma City?
Oh yeah, I'm sure it'll still be a great game, but I don't see them losing.
All right. Well, who gets the triple double then? LeBron James or Russell Westbrook?
Russell. They'll both get it.
Yeah. Hey, that's possible. They could both get it. There's no no doubt there. So, you know, we'll have to watch that. But yeah, I will actually check out some of that to see how it is moving along, and we'll see. Yeah, I'm hoping, you know, fantasy wise that some of my guys, I need John Wall to get healthy if anywhere close to coming back. So you know, I lost one of my other guys too. I had to add another guy to the injury list. I lost Rondae Hollis Jefferson. I don't know how long he's going to be out either. So, my team is scuffling. I know you said you slipped to ninth.
Yeah, I record up against all the good teams.
Yeah. Well, hey, you get it out of the way now. You know, you can hopefully catch some of those, you know, lower teams, you know, in the, you know, on the way coming around, maybe you'll pop right back up. So
yeah, well, apparently I totally forgot you mentioned that this week's the All-Star week, so this week goes through the end of next Sunday, and then after that,
yeah,
You've only got 3 weeks left.
Oh, good Lord, that means I'm not going to make the playoffs again, because my I was hanging on for a while, but man, those injuries really killed me. So you know, I just, I don't think I've made the playoffs since we started this damn league. I just don't know what it is. And I thought I had a pretty good team. So,
yeah, I don't know if you saw the post in our league, though. I think this will be the last year for that guy who tries to cheat, you know.
Yeah, I did. I did see what they did there. I'm a little disappointed I missed it, because I would have actually everybody in our league should be disappointed they missed the Kyle Lowry drop, because you know, we would have had waiver claims over him because he's ahead of us in the standings. So I would have gladly put a waiver claim in, but yeah, that was a little shady. And it was funny because I meant to actually ask you about that yesterday, but we kind of ran out of time. And I think, yeah, he's I think he's done with us. So, and in case obviously we didn't go into much detail, what happened is one of the better teams in the league made a pretty legitimate trade where the good team sent, it was Kyle Lowry and another player to one of the bad teams, and I don't remember who they got in return, but it was a pretty even trade. And then what happened is the team that got Kyle Lowry in the trade immediately turned around and dropped him. And then the team that traded Kyle Lowry put the waiver claim in. Nobody else claimed him, so he got him back. So basically it ended up being one, as Dan would describe it, bench player for two starters and a bench player. So it was a little shady on the way they did it. And yeah, it's, you know, even if the guy, you know, no matter if the guy wins the league or not this year, it's going to cost him his spot because, you know, that's just, that's finagling the system because he couldn't get a trade through. You know, they kept trying to send unfair trades through and I kept going in and vetoing them. You know, and literally these were trades like, you know, Kyle Lowry for, you know, Justin Holiday. So, you know, I was knocking that kind of stuff down. So they figured out a way around it. And yeah, I'm disappointed in that. So that'll be the end of his term with us. And we'll allow somebody else to take the spot next season.
Well, and it was just, you know, I didn't even see get any emails. I totally missed out on it.
Yeah, well, I saw the trade. I got the trade email, and I thought, oh, okay, this is fair. But we don't get email notifications when a player's dropped. So you actually have to just be looking at your team or, you know, setting your lineup or maybe just looking for a waiver player. And, you know, they picked a good time to do it. I had already set my lineup for the next day, so I didn't even notice it until the other guy posted on the message board about it, because I wasn't looking for any players at the time. You know, and obviously you're not expecting a player the quality of Kyle Lowry to be dropped. You know, barring, you know, a season-ending injury. I mean, obviously whoever had, you know, Kristaps Porzingis has dropped him because we don't have a keeper league. So, you know, that makes total sense. But, yeah, you know, a healthy all-star like Kyle Lowry, you don't expect him to be floating around there. So, yeah, I wasn't even looking or expecting that because I, you know, I would have claimed him right away. But, you know.
Well, and that's where I mentioned I thought maybe it was like a kid, a teenager.
Yeah. Yeah, it must be because, you know, like obviously, you know, you and I both want to win the league, but it's for free and it's for fun. So if I don't win it, I mean, it's fun to joke about on here. Because, you know, for whatever reason, I just can't get anything going in the basketball league. So, but, yeah, I mean, other than that, I mean, yeah, if I lose, it's okay. I don't have to win it. So. So, you know, we'll, but, yeah, I you know, because I know you mentioned it last week, and at first I wasn't really on board because, you know, he does change his lineups and all that stuff. And, you know, even though he does send up a trade, but yeah, I think that's, you know, that's going to be it. We'll have to move on. So, you know, next year, if you're looking for a basketball league, you know, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com, we'll send you all the info.
Yeah. And if you're cool like me, you could draft for my wedding.
Yes. So, not his own wedding, just to make that clear. He wasn't at his wedding. So it was somebody else's wedding. So. Oh, but all right, Dan, it looks like the NFL may have another one of those fun situations on their hand, but I guess we'll have to see how the San Francisco 49ers handle this first. I don't know if you saw this one, but over the weekend, 49ers linebacker Ruben Foster was arrested for domestic violence. He was accused by his girlfriend, and this is in the article, that he physically dragged her during an argument Sunday morning. They don't give details on her injuries or anything, but this is reported to be a long-time relationship. He was released on $75,000 bail on Sunday night. You know, I guess it's a misdemeanor. or actually no, I guess the issue stems here is just last month, Foster was arrested in Alabama on a second degree misdemeanor for marijuana possession. So now he's had two charges in the last couple months. You know, the NFL does have in place, if you're found guilty of domestic violence, you know, you can eat up to a 6-game suspension. But now just, was it last April, I think it was. Let me see. Yeah, here it is. Tremaine Brock, he was on the 49ers at the time. He was charged with domestic violence, and they immediately cut him. Now, Foster was a high draft pick. I don't think that's going to happen, but, you know, he's kind of 2-for-2 here. You know, I would be interested to know what the dragging was, because, I mean, I think that's kind of open-ended. But I don't know. What do they do here, Dan? I mean, how does are we looking at another 6-game suspension?
Well, you said they have to be convicted, right? Or found guilty?
Yeah. Well,
but yeah,
yeah. So, yeah, and oddly, you know, just kind of the drama continues. I don't know if we brought this up last year. At the NFL Combine, Foster was actually sent home from the Combine. He had a run-in with a hospital employee, and then he failed his drug test because his sample was diluted. So he's got a, you know, I mean, it's another comparison where it looks like we've got a guy who's a really good player and just can't seem to keep himself out of trouble. I would very much like to know what this dragging involved before I jump all over him and kill him, because I mean, you know, are we talking old style caveman by the hair dragging across the, you know, whatever? Was he just maybe pulling her by the arm and, you know, something kind of like that, where it was just kind of a couple's argument that I think at point in time, you know, we may have all had, where you've grabbed your partner's arm and, you know, kind of pulled them towards you. So, you know, there's a big window there on what dragging could be. But yeah, it doesn't, I'm guessing it doesn't end well here for Mr. Foster. I don't know if he gets caught, but I'm kind of under the impression between the marijuana conviction and now this, that he's looking at some kind of NFL suspension, right?
Oh yeah. And if he has two, convictions, we won't be seeing him in the XFL.
Yeah.
When he gets released from the NFL.
Well, was it a felon? No, misdemeanor, wasn't it? So he's done already, right?
Yeah, and Dan, you know, and you bring it up, well, you bring it up, I brought it up, but Johnny Manziel, I don't know if you read this, was, not to totally switch it on you, but, you know, out there talking about his bipolarism.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a word that I just made up or if that works, but, you know, you mentioned before that he tweeted out there that he wanted to play in the XFL. Do you think this is some way his campaign to maybe make a turnaround, so to speak, so maybe he can get in to the XFL in a couple of years?
Yeah, well, you know, what I would be interested in here with this, and the first thing I thought of with this is, you know, I believe he has a 4-game suspension if he's signed by any NFL team. I'm wondering if he could go to court and have that overturned by proving that his bipolarism, as you put it, had something to do with it. You know, because obviously, you know, it's a legitimate medical condition.
Yeah. And from what I understand, if it's a misdemeanor, he depending on the severity of it, you can always go back and get that expunged. I don't know what the time limit is on that, but, you know, getting it expunged, sealed, and kind of locked away, like a medical too.
This vehicle is connected by OnStar to limited services.
What the hell? Sorry, my car's talking to me. I don't know if you heard that.
Yes, I did. I thought that was very interesting that it wanted to be. Yeah, that was the first thing. Yeah, the first thing that kind of popped into my mind was, I wonder if this is a legal defense for him now, where, you know, he can kind of say, hey, you know, I didn't know I had this. You know, his lawyers could say he acted this way because of, you know, an illness. I mean, you know, I had a friend who claimed he was bipolar, and, you know, he duped the state out of money for years. You know, they were, you know, because there's no real way to prove you're not. So, you know, it could be quite interesting if, you know, because I did see in his, the, I think it was an interview, an article, but I saw a quote from him that says he would like to try to play in the NFL. So that could be interesting if we get this.
Yeah, I feel for him, because I don't think he was ever really given the chance. And
no, well, you know,
but I mean, what did he really do different than anybody else that's in the NFL has done, except for the fact that he was Johnny Manziel? He didn't do anything really any different. I mean, let's talk about it. Here in Chicago, we had players that played under the guy after Lovey, Mark Trestman, who were getting free passes to miss camps or miss whatever so that they can go open restaurants. And, you know, guys are being caught out till 4 a.m. the night before a game. And, you know, it really wasn't anything different than what Johnny Manziel was doing. But yet, you know, because he didn't come out and throw 1,000 yards in 1 week, because that's pretty much all the time he got to play for an idiotic team who drafted him seemingly for no reason at all without even working with him, which, you know, the whole way things worked out made absolutely no sense. And you don't want media attention from your backup, so to speak, but, you know, he wasn't being as controversial as, like, Colin Kaepernick was.
Yeah, well, you know, the suspension, I understood, because I believe I don't know if he pleaded guilty or if they worked out an agreement on, you know, he had a domestic violence charge with his, you know, his at the time girlfriend. So, you know, I understand you've got to kind of eat the suspension for that. Again, I don't know the situation behind it. I know, you know, there's a big window there on what domestic violence is. And in some cases, it's incredibly horrible. And in other cases, it can be stretched out to make somebody look bad. So, you know, it's just kind of how things are handled. So I don't know where he came up on that end of it. But again, you wonder now if he could say, well, you know, I was bipolar, I didn't know it, and it made me act this way.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, but I meant even before that. You know, he was pretty much in this league to fail. Everyone. I never seen such a trove of people that, you know, wanted to run this kid out. And, you know, he didn't even get a chance. So the bipolarism, you know, the advantage, the addition of all media, the country, the world, all just up against him, just kind of, you know, it all blew up in his face. And, yeah, he's got to take some fault to it, but it wasn't all him.
No, well, you know, I mean, he was, you know, long hated for being, you know, the rich college kid. And, you know, that just carried over. Remember the uproar they had when he was sitting front row at a Miami Heat playoff game and they were wondering how a college kid could afford that before realizing his father is very well off and a ticket like that is nothing to a guy like that to go purchase?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, they, you know, they went ape crazy on that with, you know, oh, he's a, you know, then all of a sudden he was a student athlete, and oh, he shouldn't be buying these. Well, obviously he didn't buy his tickets. Daddy bought it for him. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I mean, they made it into a landslide of, you know, oh my God, look at what he's doing. And, you know, and then that just carried over. Remember he went to Vegas, on, I think it was the Browns off week. And everybody had a conniption fit because he was in Vegas, not studying, instead of studying the playbook. So, you know, it was just like, okay, you know, and yeah, he was just, like you said, he was going to fail regardless because he was always going to be somebody's scapegoat. You know, no matter what happened, he was going to be the bad guy.
Ireland,
yeah. So, you know, we'll have to see him. You know, maybe he'll get another chance. You know, maybe somebody will take a shot with him. Even if he's got to sit four games, there's plenty of quarterback jobs. You got to think, you know, maybe a team like, you know, even the Cowboys bring him in and, you know, let him sit for four games. But I don't know. We'll have to see. But, you know, I'm sure you know by now that, you know, Colin Kaepernick is finally suing the NFL for collusion. My guess is he's probably got a pretty good case. He'll end up winning something. But interestingly, his lawyer submitted their deposition list. And they have a couple interesting names on it. They actually want to depose Jane Goodell, who is the wife of NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell. And then the other kind of just odd name on there is John, and I'm going to guess this is pronounced Shatnader, maybe something like that. He's Papa John's. He's the CEO of Papa John's. So he's Papa John. You know, they have Jerry Jones on the list along with Bob McNair, the Texans owner, and then Robert Kraft, the Patriots owner. So, you know, quite an interesting name, you know, list of names there. I don't know what they expect to get out of, you know, Goodell's wife, Jane, or Papa John. I don't know what either of them could tell them about the situation. But again, you know, you don't have to depose these people. You just throw their names out there. And I mean, it may have gotten they wanted, because I think this is a case everybody is a little tired of. So by adding these type of names, they may bring a little interest in it, because to be honest, that's what caught my eye was the Papa John CEO. I'm like, why the hell do they want to depose Papa John? What could he possibly tell them? You know, and then in the article, they also add on that they want to, you know, they want a deposition from Jane Goodell. So it's kind of like, okay, I don't know if or how this could possibly help his case, but, you know, it would be kind of interesting to hear what they might have to say. I don't know, Dan, do you think either of those people add any light to Colin Kaepernick's case?
Slightly maybe Papa John, but at the same time, he was also asked to step down from the company. So I don't know how that's going to help you. And number Jerry Jones and Robert Kraft, how does that help you? So you're going to ask the owners of two of the biggest NFL teams, and that's the end of that sentence, because they are the two biggest NFL teams. You're going to ask them why they weren't interested in Colin Kaepernick. Did it have anything to do with his political? Well, no, because we both had our quarterbacks.
Yeah.
We didn't need anybody else. And we weren't going to pay a high price for a backup.
Yeah, I think it might be a little more interesting to maybe depose a team that had a bad quarterback to ask maybe why they weren't interested in bringing him in. I maybe that. Yeah,
Chicago?
You know, Cleveland, you know, maybe talk to the Browns, you know, stuff like that. But yeah, I was kind of like, oh, okay.
Well, it's interesting that they go after Jane and not Roger, because they can't go after both of them, because she could essentially plead the fifth. I mean, I don't know how that works in a deposition, but, you know, that doesn't make any sense. So you've grabbed people that really can't help you. I mean, and what's he going to win? He's not going to win a job.
Well, he would get a monetary settlement, you know. I mean, you know, if he's given millions of dollars, he could be set for life, couldn't he?
Yeah.
So, you know, now I don't maybe know this right off the bat, but Roger Goodell is technically part of the lawsuit as NFL commissioner, can his wife even testify against him? Is that allowed? Because I believe, if I remember right, a wife can't testify against a husband or vice versa in like a murder trial or anything like that. So I don't know if this is similar. I mean, maybe they murdered Kaepernick's career, but, you know.
Well, you can – I think that's a situation where you could plead the fifth.
Yeah. So, you know, yeah, like, I thought, like, you know, Papa John, I thought, okay, maybe he might have a little something or other, a tidbit he could give him, but, I don't know. Jane Goodell, I mean, she's not going to know the inner workings of the NFL. I mean, are they expecting her to say, well, this is what he talked about at home?
But you can't do.
Right.
I
don't understand that. But I think, you know, like I was saying, I think it was more just a kind of a name grab to get bring a little attention to the case more than anything. Because, you know, I mean, at this point, with everything that's went on with Kaepernick, do you even care anymore?
No. But, I mean, when did he have his big playoff run into the Super Bowl? Wasn't that like 4 or 5 years ago already?
It's been a little while now. I mean, probably. Yeah, well, I mean, when were the 49ers good besides the end of last year? You know, Jim Harbaugh was still there, so yeah, it was probably 4 years ago.
I mean, this happens all the time. Guys go from being on the top of the world and. You know, who's the kid who went down to Texas, got signed a big contract, and then totally busted out?
Brock,
you remember,
Osweiler.
from Denver. Yeah, Osweiler,
yeah,
you know? So, I get it. He somewhat has a case, but at the same time, he doesn't, because he didn't really prove anything.
Yeah, it's, you know, it'll be interesting to see, you know, how this kind of shakes out. I think he's got enough to prove he was colluded against. I don't know what that's worth, though. So.
Well, I mean, I guess being able to garner millions of dollars in a lawsuit against the NFL because nobody wanted you to be their backup because they didn't want the attention or the negative publicity. Right. Well, you know, I'm surprised this doesn't happen in Hollywood more often, because you make the wrong statement or you rub the producer the wrong way, all of a sudden you're colluded against, but we don't hear about those cases. So I don't know. I just feel like it's the entitled whining to, you know, the less entitled whining to the more entitled. I just, you know, you made your stance, you made your political stance, and you ran with it. So that's what you did.
Yeah, all right. Well, enough of that BS. I'm tired of talking about it already. So, all right, Dan, I just realized I did not know this, but on Thursday, I'm guessing you will be podcasting live from Seattle for us, won't you?
Sure, you're flying me, I guess.
I know, now everybody, even Dan is wondering why he's going to be in Seattle on Thursday. Well, Dan, on Thursday, Tim Lincecum will be holding his workout in Seattle. Now, they're reporting that at least 10 teams are going to take a look at him. Minimum 10 are supposed to be there, including, it looks like, just about all the AL East teams. Toronto is the only one that's not on the list. All the other ones are on the list here. You know, Dan, we love Tim Lincecum. He, let's face it, he was bad with the Angels last year.
Very bad.
You know, the photo he put up, I mean, he looked fantastic in his workout photos, but, you know, that's not saying a whole lot. Does he get a job? Somebody bring him in for spring training? You think, I mean, it can't hurt to look at him, right? Even on a minor league deal?
No, I don't think it hurts you at all. I think saving some money and going after him and the possibility of him starting isn't a bad deal, especially if you're, you know, let's say a team even like the Yankees.
Yeah, I mean, I think what I would be really be interested in would, you know, if he would be willing to be, you know, a reliever. You know, because I still keep kind of thinking back to, you know, he was the best he's been as of late was that World Series when he pitched in relief for the Giants. You know, there's not a team in baseball that couldn't use that. You know, if he could go out there and be that guy and pitch an inning or two every other day like he did in that World Series and be effective – There's not a bullpen in baseball, no matter who you are or who you think you are or how you're set up, that couldn't use that guy right now. So I think that would be my interest in him.
Well, not only that, I mean, you remember what happened in the Yankees playoff game down in Houston. Was it Severino pitched, what, a third? I don't even remember if they went that far. You know, and that
that was the wild card
the issue. Oh, that was wow. You sure? Oh, they don't.
Yeah. Because Severino stunk, and then so did Santana. And neither, I think Santana managed to get through an inning, but Severino only lasted like a third of an inning. So.
I thought that was a series because it was against Houston. Houston won their division.
Well, maybe he had a bad start against Houston too. But I remember the wild card game; he was bad as well.
Well, they did win that wild card because they made it to the series against the Astros. But yeah, I mean, in a situation like that, not to say that it's going to happen that often, but you know, that's when you need a guy like Lincecum to come on in and, you know, shore up innings 2 through 4. And hopefully he's still got it. You know, he's definitely a guy I liked. He's one of the draws to the Giants almost 10 years ago that really, you know, got me into watching the Giants, along with the Barry Zito trade. That helped.
And now we're on the Giants, Dan. There are reports that the Giants, the Phillies, and the Red Sox have all contacted Tony Watson's agent to see what he's interested in. So you might have another interest for the Giants there if they decide to sign your guy Tony Watson.
Oh, that would be exciting. I mean, I don't know what happened last year, but I think maybe if he, you know, was able to start off with the team and just work right through with them, you know, it might make a difference. You get back in
the setup
role.
He seems to be one of those guys that, for whatever reason it is, pitches better as a setup guy than a closer. You know, and you always, you know, that's one of those just kind of mythical things about baseball that no one has just ever been able to figure out. You know, I mean, you would think three outs would be three outs, but sometimes, you know, those last three outs, even if it's against the, you know, the 7-8 and then a pinch hitter for the pitcher, just can be difficult for certain guys. And, you know, for whatever reason, I mean, Watson, he wasn't terrible. He just wasn't the shutdown closer that he was as a setup guy. I mean, he was a lockdown, bring it home setup guy, and it just didn't carry over into the closer's role.
No, and, you know, and I know it's the closing role is definitely high pressured, and I don't want to take away any of the, you know, any of that from that position. But at the same time, you've got to have to think that the edge is slightly more on, a little bit more on the setup man when you're coming into that role, because, you know, the closer is only coming in if you do your job. If you don't do your job, the closer is not coming in. Not to say that I'm taking anything away from what the closer's job is, but, you know, you got to get it to him. So I was definitely surprised that that closing role didn't really work out too well for him. And you got to wonder if maybe that shook his confidence to where he really couldn't get it back when he was out in L.A.
Yeah, well, you know, like the thing that always just amazes me is like the setup guy will come in, you know, there's two outs in the seventh inning and they bring the setup guy in. And he blows away the number one hitter, and then he comes back for the eighth inning, and he gets the 2, 3, and 4 hitters, no problem. They turn it over the closer, the team gets the win, they get a save. But when you put that setup guy in the closing role, and he's facing the fifth, the sixth, and the seventh hitter, he can't get anybody out, even though he just, you know, a day before, he blew away the best four hitters in our lineup. It's for whatever reason, you know, be it mental, be it whatever you want to call it, those last three outs mount up on guys, and it's kind of like, oh, wait, I'm closing the game. What's going on here? So, you know, it's just weird. But, hopefully, you know, he gets signed somewhere. You know, he's still a quality setup guy. He was really good for the Dodgers in the playoffs. He kind of got his groove back there a little, so maybe that'll carry over and, you know, help him, you know, kind of get rolling.
You know what I'm a little surprised by, though, is the fact that, you know, maybe not so much the Cubs, but the Brewers or the Cardinals didn't take a look at him, being that he spent so much time in the Central. And, yeah, it's shooken up a little bit, but you would think bringing him into a familiar park, so to speak, he would fare well and be a guy that, you know, one of those three teams would really want to look at.
Yeah, you know, it is interesting. They all went, you know, different ways with the lefties. You know, the Cubs brought Dunsing back. I'm trying to remember the Cardinals. I thought they signed a lefty reliever, and I know the Brewers went out and got a setup guy after Swarzak signed with the Mets. So yeah, they all chose different options than going with Watson. So you know, who knows, maybe one of them will jump in here late now that he's drawn some interest and he'll end up back in the Central. But you know, he's one of those guys I'd like to see signed. Well, I'd like to see all the guys start getting signed so we can get ready for fantasy, because this is drawing stuff out ridiculously. But, you know, he's one of the guys. I mean, we've kind of actively rooted for him since he was your guy.
You always nominate him too early. But speaking of the Cubs, there's the conversations this morning. You know, everyone's excited, of course. How could he not be? Cubs signed the biggest free agent of this offseason. You Darvish, but you know, they started talking about the bullpen, and you know, Brandon Morrow supposed to take the closing spot, and you know, hopefully he could fill the Wade Davis role, the Chapman role, regardless of the closer. But you know, who else could be the closer? You know, of course, Carl Edwards Jr. was brought up, and somebody else was brought up. But then I was dying laughing, and I don't know if everyone just missed everything after the trade, but how can you seriously throw out Justin Wilson's name and think that that's really going to stick? I just, you know, and these are guys that this is their job. It's Chicago, so this is the team they cover. It's the radio station they work for that has the game on their station. They watch these games, or so they say. But I just don't even understand. With not bringing up Justin Wilson's name and not bringing up the fact that, you know, in a nicer way, that he completely sucked.
Yeah, you know, I guess you got to hope that the new pitching coach can get him back to the form he had with the Tigers. Right?
Showman's guy.
So, you know, I am a little interested. You know, they had a guy at Iowa who had some success last year, and I'm probably going to butcher his last name. But it's Matt Caracetti, who you know, he had some success there last year, picked up 21 saves and 25 opportunities, had a 3.26 ERA. Maybe he's a guy they could bring along as a, you know, another bullpen piece and start working into that role.
They could, but I think the way they're going, he's going to be another guy who's going to finish out, you know, another year in the minors as they, I was reading the transactions the other day. We didn't go through it. The Cubs brought back Justin Grimm. So I don't remember what the numbers on his deal were, if just a 1 year, if there's an arbitration thing, but you'll have him. And I don't know what his options are left, if he can go back up and down again, because, you know, there were several times where he came up and down last year. So I don't know if there's a role where he'll be, pretty much up at the major league roster, or if he's got the options to give a kid like that the opportunity. So, I mean, I think obviously except for Wade Davis and then bringing in Morrow, you pretty much got the same bullpen.
Well, you know, they didn't bring Uehara back. He's still out there in free agency. So, you know, don't forget Rondon is also gone.
Yeah.
So, they have a couple spots that, you know, they might have an opening for. So it would be nice to, you know, see maybe a young guy, you know, just get a look and try to build up so they have something going forward. I think everybody kind of thought Carl Edwards Jr. was the future closer, but I don't know. Are you sold on that?
Well, I think he just needs to get more opportunities to actually get the closing role. Yeah, you know, I don't think there should be an issue with, especially with a guy like Morrow coming off being more the setup man for Kenley Jansen, why you can't, you know, go more so of a platoon with him or with them, you know, where you have two options as opposed to,
I think they're going to have to. I don't think Morrow can pitch every day. So
yeah,
they're going to need a second option.
And if you can build a team where, you know, almost like the NFL with the two running backs and, you know, things like that. But, you know, how great would it be if you had two guys on your team closing who had 30 plus saves each?
Well, that might be, you're definitely going to need a second option there. Oh, all right. Look at that. The music means that Dan and I are going to take off. Dan is going to go look up Colin Kaepernick's lawyer for tomorrow's show. All right, anyways, we'll be back tomorrow at 5:30, but you know what to do while we're gone. SportsTimeRadio.com. Look for that new blog tomorrow morning. Link over to the Facebook page. Give that a like, but don't forget about the Twitter feed, which is at SportsTimeRadio. You can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. If you want to hunt us down, that's cool. Hey, as always, though, big thanks for coming on and listening to us live. Dan and I think that's great when you do that, but don't forget, you can go listen to the podcast anytime you want over at TuneIn.com.
SportsTimeRadio.com.